Right, so we were looking at the traditions, as I said, of the Ahl Sunnah, and looking at the proof behind it as to why we do it. We looked at seeking assistance from other than Allah. Whatever you remember, or you don't. But at least the concept is clear in your mind. The reason why we go through this is not that you go out and preach. If people do it, if some of you brothers have the potential, if you understand it, if you memorize it, and if you are so solid in it that you can go and convince others, fine. But the main purpose is that we in ourselves become so strong that we don't have any doubt in what we do. That is the main purpose. And also, if somebody poses a question to you on why we do certain things, then we know as to why we do it. Okay? Nobody can sort of deviate us, or nobody can shake us from what we believe in. So that is the main purpose. Okay? So we looked, I think, quite comprehensively on the topic of seeking assistance from other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there we looked that when we seek assistance, we have this, we'll do that later, brother. We have this in our mind that the ultimate helper who gives and who helps is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all the others are the means. So we take them as means, we don't take them as the sole helpers or the ultimate helpers. The ultimate help, everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing, not a particle can move from its place, or we can't do anything, not one action can happen without the consent and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, but everything else is the means. Today, inshallah, before we start, we'll say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. Salatu wa salamu alayka ya Habibullah. Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nabiyallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So today we'll look at a rather smaller topic on it, on the same subject, and that is again one of the traditions of what we have been doing for many, many, many centuries. We still do it, which is called either you can call it Isal al-Sawab, or doing Fatiha, or doing like Gyarawi Sharif, or the Chaliswa, or the anniversary, the Bursi as we say, and all these kind of things. We look into it, into the background, try to understand what it means, what it is. We look at the proofs as to why we do it, and then we'll obviously take your questions on it if you still have any doubts, so that we can clear it. But the purpose is that this becomes so clear in our minds and in our hearts that we do it, you know, wholeheartedly. And if anyone comes to you and asks a question, then you are in a position to justify yourself. Okay? Islam is a religion of helping. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves that a person, any of His servant, help others. It is said that when you help someone in this world, Allah will help you in the Akhirah. Okay? When you take away somebody's trouble in this world, Allah will take away the trouble in this world and also in the Akhirah. And the troubles in the Akhirah are obviously much, much bigger than the troubles of this dunya. So we are doing something small, and in return Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us something which is much, much bigger, much, much larger according to His shan. So helping. You help a person, you help each other, you help your friends, your relatives, your neighbors, your family, you keep helping till they die. But then, when a person dies, when a person goes from this world into the other world, do you think we should help, we should stop helping that person? Or do you think that in such a state, when he is in the new world, when he is in the qabr, when he is in the barzakh, do we need to help him more? Tell me, do we need to stop helping him, or do we need to help him even more? We need to help that person even more, because he is in much greater need of help than he was in the dunya. Okay? Because in the dunya, if one person doesn't help, the other person helps. If he doesn't help, somebody else would help. But it so happens, and it is the way of the dunya, that when somebody passes away, not many people remember him. Maybe the immediate family for a little while. Yeah? Immediate family, that too for only a very little while. And then we forget. We get on with our lives. We get busy with our day-to-day work. And the person who is gone, we forget him. So that person, he might be in much greater need of help. We don't know what his actions were in this world. We don't know what state he is in the qabr. We don't know if he needs our help, if he needs forgiveness, if he needs some mercy, if he needs some sort of virtues which we can give. So the concept should be clear that we are just helping, okay? And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us helping someone in this dunya while a person is alive, then He should love us even more when the person has passed away, because that person is in much greater need of our help. So this is basically what Isa alayhi sawab is. Isa alayhi sawab, okay, is that when a person passes away, or even when he's alive, you do something, and then you say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, I did it for you, but the virtues, the rewards that you are giving to me, I want to share it with my brother, okay, or my sister, or this person, or that person, whoever, okay, whatever reward you're giving to me on it, also give it to him. Now the beauty is, if suppose you pray the Holy Quran, okay, and then after praying the Holy Quran, you do the Isa alayhi sawab, that means you say that, okay, I want to, you know, give the sawab to. Now you can say it to one person, you can say it to two persons, or you can say it to the whole world, to the whole humanity. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Qadir, okay? He can give that same sawab to each and every person in the world without taking anything away from your sawab. This is the beauty of it. One thing you do, why do you limit it to only one person or two people or three people? Why don't you share it with the whole world? Because nothing will be taken away from you. All you have to say is, Ya Allah, can you please give the sawab of this to the Ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Say subhanallah. Can you please give the sawab of this or to all the people from Adam alayhi salam till the day of Qiyamah, all those who pass away in the state of Iman? Because without Iman, nothing helps. Okay? Only when somebody passes away with Iman, then only anything will help. Otherwise, nothing helps. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives everything. He does not forgive shirk. He does not forgive kufr. Okay? He can forgive everything he wants. Okay? It's up to him. But for kufr or shirk, when you associate partners with him, or you worship somebody else other than him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive such a person. And for such a person, on the day of Qiyamah, it's hell and forever and ever and ever and ever. And for a believer who goes with good deeds and who, with the mercy of Allah and the shafaat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, enters Jannah, for him will be Jannah forever and ever and ever and ever. Sometimes we think, oh, how long will this forever be? But in this world where everything is measured in time and space, our brain cannot comprehend it. So don't think about it. When Allah says forever, it means forever. Da iman abada, forever. So inshallah, it's not going to be boring there. You know, if you say forever, then you might get bored. Inshallah, you won't get bored. Because this is Jannah. Alhamdulillah. Anyway, so back to our topic. We believe in this simple concept. And on the base of this, there are several traditions which have come into existence. Okay? For example, after every namaz, we say Al-Fatiha. Okay? We do it, there are people who dispute it. At home, we call people, we put the food, we say Al-Fatiha. Do the Fatiha, do the Isa alayhi sawab to, you know, all the marhumin, all those who have passed away, and everyone. And then we eat. So we do that. After somebody passes away, obviously we do the namaz-e-janaza. And after that, probably we do the tija or the chautha, whatever, you know, that is, we call people on the third day for a special fatiha, where people gather and they do fatiha, they do dua. Or then we do, some people do, it's like different at different places. Some people do it weekly, that means after 1 week has passed away, they do a big fatiha. Some people, and this is very common, that people do a chaliswa, that means on the 40th day, we call people and then we do a gathering where people come and pray, and then we do the salih sawab. And then at the first anniversary we do it, okay, and then we forget. Then we forget. It is only the awliya Allah for whom it goes on and on and on. I mean, Gyarvi Sharif has been going on for about 8 centuries now, and it still goes on. So this is the barak of that Buzurg, Alhamdulillah, Huzur Ghawse Pak. But for people like you and me, for common people, our brothers, sisters, our family, our children would do it for a year and then will be forgotten. But if you live for the sake of Allah, then Allah will live your name, inshallah, forever. Inshallah. So this is basically what we do. We don't say that this is farz. We don't say this is wajib. We don't say you have to do it. No, we don't say that. Okay, those who say that, they are wrong. It is not wajib to do it. Islam doesn't make it compulsory on you to do it. It's completely voluntary. If you do it, it's a good thing. It's going to help you and others. If you don't do it, fine. But there are some people and fractions in the ummah, in the community, where they dispute the very authenticity of it. And they say that, no, this is wrong. If you do it, it's wrong. If you do it, it's shirk. If you do it, it's bidah. If you do it, it's this and that. And that is where we are left in a position that we have to justify ourselves. Okay? Otherwise, we didn't need to. Okay? Those who do it. They don't do it, they don't do it. But here, we are in a position where people constantly point fingers at us and they say, look, this is what they are doing and this is wrong. This is what they are doing and this is wrong. And so, we are in a position that we need to say that, no, what we are doing has its roots back in the Quran and the Hadith, and the things we do is valid and it's jais in the Sharia. Okay, and that's the very reason why we need to go through this. So obviously we'll make it very brief and concise as possible. Firstly, doing dua, and that is mainly what we do. Doing dua for somebody else, is this jais or not? One proof which you can say is the namaz-e-janaza. What is namaz-e-janaza? What is namaz-e-janaza? Yes, it's dua for the mayyat. It's dua for the deceased. That's it. That's what it is. Okay? And we put the janazah in front of us. And then we pray it. Some people say in it that, you know, these people, they pray at the mazar. So are they praying for the mazar? So we should say, you know, namaz-e-janazah, you put the mayyat right in front of the imam. So are you praying for the mayyat, or you're praying it for Allah? You're praying it for Allah. All you're doing is giving the sawab to that person who is passed away. So doing dua for somebody else, is it allowed or not? This is the proof. Namaz-e-janaza is nothing else but it is dua for the deceased. Okay? All you're doing is making dua. Allahumma ighfir li hayyina wa mayyitina wa shahidina wa ghaibina wa saghirina wa kabirina. And in that dua, you're doing dua for everyone, not only for the mayyit. If you look at the dua, Allahumma ighfir li hayyina, that means, O Allah, forgive all the people who are alive. Wa mayyitina, all the people who are dead. Okay? وَشَاهِدِنَا, all the people who are present. وَغَائِبِنَا, all the people who are not present. وَصَغِيرِنَا, all the people who are young. وَكَبِيرِنَا, all the people who are old. So, Allah gathered us to make dua for that one person, but the beauty of Islam is, you don't limit the dua for the deceased, you are making dua for the whole ummah at that time. Okay, at that time. And then you say, اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ لَهُ, and then you specify him, that for him or her we also make this dua. So namaz-e-janaza itself is nothing but the dua. And the dua mentioned in the Holy Quran, I just remembered, which it said, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. What does that mean? رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي. This is mentioned in the Holy Quran. Quran teaches us to pray this dua. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي. Oh Allah, forgive us. And this is one of the etiquettes of dua. First, pray for yourself, then for others. We do the reverse. We try to be good. We say, oh, let us pray for others first and then for us. But here, I mean, the concept would be that, you know, we feel that we are more needy of the du'as of Allah. That means we are so low, we are so helpless that we need more du'as than the others. So you make du'a for yourself first and then. So Allahumma gfir li, Ya Allah, forgive me. Wali walidayya, and our parents. So never forget your parents in your du'as. Allahumma gfir li, wali walidayya, walil mu'mineen, and then all the mu'mineen. Yawma yaqumul hisab, all those mu'mineen who will come to the day of Qiyamah. So this again is a dua which Quran teaches us, in which there is dua for others. So this becomes clear that to make dua for others is okay, it's jayaz, and it's perfectly valid. In the same way, like if somebody cannot go for Hajj, yeah, for example, you tell somebody else, you know, can you do Hajj for me? So that person will get the reward and you will get the reward too. Yeah? You are not doing it physically. Somebody else is doing it. But because he is doing it with the intention that he is doing it for you, you get the reward. Yeah? You too get the reward. So all we are trying to prove is one person's action helps the other person. One person's reward goes to the other person. That is what we are trying to prove. Okay? This is what they deny. What the others deny is, they say, no, what you do is for yourself. What others do is for themselves. Nobody can help nobody. This is their concept. Okay? This is what they say. Nobody can help nobody. If he prays it for himself. If you pray, you pray it for yourself. If he prays, it's not going to help you. If you pray, it's not going to help him. This is what they say. But here we are trying to prove that no. If somebody else prays, you too get the reward. Hajj, somebody else is doing it. He did it for you, your name. You get the reward. Like we do tawaf. Yeah? When you do tawaf, you can do it with whoever's name you want. What does that mean? If it wasn't allowed, why do we do it? We do it. This on the name of my parents, this on the name of my ustaz, this on the name of my brother, this tawaf on the name of my sister. Not that you are not getting the reward. Allah will give you the reward and also the other person, without taking anything away from your reward. So, if somebody does something, the other person gets the reward. Let's look at some more proof. Here it says that a person, you know, a young child who dies, yeah, will take his parents into Jannah. Yeah? A young person who passes away, a young child who passes away, who has not reached puberty yet, okay? So he is not accountable for his actions, because he didn't reach a stage where anything became farz upon him. Okay? So he goes pure from this world. And when he goes pure from this world, he will not only enter Jannah himself, but he will see to it that he takes his parents with him. So even though his parents might be sinners, his parents might still have some sins upon them, but this person will say, this child would say, I'm not going to enter Jannah till I take those people who gave me birth in the world into Jannah with me. Okay? So the actions are on the one side. This person is saying that I want to take people or my parents into Jannah. It's like the Hafiz-e-Quran. It is said that the Hafiz-e-Quran will take 10 people upon whom Jahannam has become wajib into Jannah with his shafaat. So that is a different territory, like shafaat, but still what we are trying to prove is somebody else is helping somebody else. Yeah? Now, it says in it is stated in one of the hadith that every person has some angels upon him. For every person, I mean, if you collate all the hadith, it comes to 20 angels on one person. Okay? There are 20 angels, some right in front of your face, some behind, and there are kiram and katibin who are writing. So 20 angels, yeah, who are with the person all the time. Okay? Some have been appointed to protect us and to assist us and so on. Now, when a person passes away, these angels, obviously, their task is over, that person has passed away. What do? They go to they go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they say that, Ya Allah, our job is finished now. Shall we stay in the heavens and do your tasbih? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, there are enough angels here to do my tasbih. You don't need to be here. So shall we go to the earth and do your tasbih? So there are enough angels over there to do my tasbih. So where shall we go? So it is said that Allah will tell them that go to the person whom you belong to, his qabr, stand by his qabr and do the dua for his maghfirah till the day of qiyamah. Subhanallah. Aw kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So angels are doing dua for his maghfirah. Okay, he is not doing himself. He's dead. He's helpless. All his actions have now stopped. But who is praying for him? The angels are praying for him. In the same way, there is one hadith where one of the Sahabi came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he inquired that if I dig a well in the name of my mother, will she receive any reward for it? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, indeed, she will receive the reward. Okay, so who is doing the action? Who's doing the action? This child is, the son is doing the action in the world, and the person who's passed away has passed away, but because he is doing in her name, it is going to help. Now this is the hadith, and where the companion asks. And there is also a hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that when a person passes away, his actions stop except three. Okay? There are three things which will help him even after he passes away. And one of them is that he will leave saleh children, he will leave pious children in the world who will do good deeds, which is going to help him even after he passes away. So is that concept becoming clear now? That even when we pass away, there are actions of others which are helping us. Is that right? Is it becoming clear? No? Yes? Come on, interact. Yes? Is it becoming clear? Inshallah, it will become even more clearer. But is it clear so far that a person has died and the people who are still alive, they are doing certain actions which is helping the person who has died? And there are people who just deny this. Your deeds for you, his deeds for him. And that is what we are trying to dispute here. Now there are so many narrations here about the Buzurgs and there's so many books, so I don't want to confuse you with this. But basically, we just want to make the concept clear. Ashatul Lam'at, okay? Sheikh Abdul Haq Muhaddis al-Dehelvi is very authentic a few centuries ago, and his books are read by one and all. So Ashatul Lam'at is the sharah of a book on hadith called Mishkat Sharif. We should at least know the names of the books of hadith. We only know Bukhari Sharif. There are loads. There are many others. Mishkat Sharif is also one of the books of hadith where Sahib Mishkat, what he has done, he's taken on particular topic, he takes a book hadith from Bukhari Sharif and take from hadith from Muslim Sharif and Ibn Majah Sharif and this and that. And he has collected all of them together in one book, which is called Mishkat Sharif, okay? And this is the sharah, like the explanation of Mishkat Sharif, which Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Haq Muhaddis al-Dehelvi did. And in this, he writes, that any person, now he's quoting a hadith actually, that whoever recites Surah Ikhlas, which is Qulhu Allah Sharif. This is a hadith, okay? Whoever recites Surah Ikhlas, Qulhu Allah Sharif, that is, 11 times, and he prays near a Qabristan or wherever, and he does the Isal Sawab for the people in that Qabristan, then the azab will be lifted on all the people who are there. The azab will be lifted from all the people who are in that graveyard. So how many times Surah Ikhlas? 11 times. This is again in the Hadith Sharif, so which proves our case. So this is basically what we do in Fatiha. Here he also tried to prove that why we gather is to do the dua. Okay, and when there are hadiths, and he's listed down some hadiths where it states that when you do the khatm-e Quran, your dua is never rejected. And that is where the Quran khani comes in. You know, Quran khani here, Quran khani there, Quran khani in the masjid, Quran khani at home. Why? Because when somebody does khatm-e Quran, when a Quran is finished, when somebody recites the Holy Quran complete, then at that time the duas are never rejected. The du'as are always maqbool. So what we do is, we do the khatm-e Qur'an, and then we are in a position where we can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our needs. And at that time where Allah has promised that your du'a will be accepted, we do du'a for the person who is dead. So we are helping that person. Okay? And we are making sure that our du'as are never rejected. Jab Qur'an khatm kare, phir du'a mange. तो उसकी दुआ पर 4000 फरिश्ते आमीन कहते हैं 4000 फरिश्ते आमीन कहते हैं फिर उसके लिए दुआ करते रहते हैं और मगफिरत करते रहते हैं शाम को हो तो सुबह तक और सुबह को हो तो शाम तक दैट मींस 4000 एंजल्स से आमीन ऑन द पर्सनस दुआ आफ्टर ही हैज फिनिश्ड द कुरान ओके 4000 एंजल्स एंड देन दे कीप डूइंग मगफिरत फॉर दैट पर्सन टिल If this has happened in the morning, then till the evening. And if this has happened in the evening, then till the morning. So again, the angels are doing good for the person who has passed away. Or the person who has finished the Holy Quran. Now one of the thing is they say, you know, you fix the day, third day, or the 7th day, or the 40th day, or after a year. This is wrong. Why do you fix a day? Did the Prophet ﷺ ever fix a day? So, firstly, to do anything in Islam, you don't need a proof, okay? As long as it's within the parameters of Sharia, you can do it, okay? If somebody denies it, then to deny it, you need a proof. Now, this is a very, very basic and very fundamental rule, okay? As such, everything is mubah. Okay, everything is mubah. Everything is jais, unless stated otherwise. This is the fundamental rule. Everything is jais unless stated otherwise. Just like to eat, everything is halal unless stated. Quran doesn't say that this is halal, this is halal, this is halal. The list would be never ending. Quran mentions the haram. That means anything other than that is halal. Okay? In the same way, for anything which is not right, the Prophet ﷺ from the Quran and the Hadith listed down that this is not jais, this is not jais, this is not jais, this is not jais. Okay? Anything apart from that is jais. So if somebody says that you do this, where is it in the Holy Quran? I don't need to find in the Holy Quran. Tell me where is it stopped in the Holy Quran. Like if I have milk, if somebody says, you're having milk, tell me, where does Quran say to have milk? So what I'll say, that Quran is not going to tell me to have milk, tell me where it stops me from having milk. Okay? Because it is stupid if somebody asks me that I do something, where is it in Quran, where is it in Hadith? It can't be. It's not a book like, which contains such kind of details. It contains everything, but not these kind of details which are unnecessary. Okay? So, Quran has listed all the wrongs. So anything apart from that is the right. So if somebody comes up to you and says something that, why do you do this? Tell me where is in the Quran. You say, no, Quran is not for that. Or Hadith is not for that. You tell me that where does Quran or Hadith stop me from it? If it does, I won't do it. If it doesn't, that means it's jais. Because by default, everything is mubah. Mubah means jais. Okay? Permissible. Everything is permissible. You getting it, yeah? Okay. So, yeah. Two fixed days. Third day, fifth day, seventh day. What's wrong in it? The reason why we fix a day is that people can all come in together and we can collectively make dua for that person. I mean, it's a baseless objection. It's no objection. I mean, if you fix a day for the birthday of your child, there's nothing wrong in it. If you fix a day to marry, there's nothing wrong in it. So why is there anything wrong in fixing a day for this? At least everybody gathers. If you don't fix a day, how do people know when to come? How do people know when to do Isal al-Sawab? How do people know when to recite something? So here we call 50 people, 100 people, and they pray the Quran, Alhamdulillah. They all came together. It became an ijtima, where the mercy of Allah is revealed on the ijtima anyway. And then it became possible for people to finish the Quran. And because the Quran was finished, Allah has promised that the dua will be accepted. So then you make the dua for the deceased, and inshallah your dua will be accepted, and Allah will forgive the person, and He will have His mercy on the person who is dead. What a beautiful concept. So why object on it? Nevertheless, so that is the reason why we fix days. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was one of his ma'mool that Hazrat Amir Hamza, his beloved uncle, okay, who was martyred in the Battle of Uhud, okay, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved him, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the Shari' himself. That means he's got the power to do anything in Sharia, okay. This is beautiful. He's got the power to do anything in Sharia. He is not bound by Sharia. Sharia is bound by him. Okay? So, like to do matam, as the Shias do. I don't know what's the word for it. It's like, you know, the Shias, they moan, and they moan in a very aggressive way on the dead, that even the dead moans on them. They do it in such a way. What do you say? What's the word? It's not the official word though. Yeah. So it's like mourning in that way, where, you know, they do all sort of things, and they break their chest and this and that and whatever. So this kind of thing is not allowed in Islam. If somebody passes away, you have to have in your heart, of course you feel the pain. Like Hazrat Ibrahim, the son of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, passed away. There were tears flowing. And the Sahabas, he said, "Are you mourning, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam?" And he replied that, "This is the will of Allah, the decree of Allah. We are Razi, but as humans, we still feel the pain." And that is what is the case with everyone. We are humans, we are attached to the person, we feel tremendous pain, and it is shown and reflected in the tears, okay, and in some of our actions, but we don't mourn the death, okay, because ultimately we feel that this is the will of Allah. Life was from Allah, and He is the one who takes it away whenever He wishes, so we can't dispute that. So we are Razi deep inside, but it's a superficial pain, and the, you know, the pain at the time which you feel. So it's not allowed to mourn in that sense. But for the death of Hazrat Amir Hamza, the Prophet ﷺ loved him so much that he allowed mourning on his death. He can allow whatever he wants. Gold is haram, okay, for men, and silver, and all kind of chains and bracelets and ornaments or whatever. I've said it before plenty of times, that even if you attribute it to any buzurg, I mean, if it's against the Sharia, it's against the Sharia, okay? So stay away from it. Only what is allowed is one ring of silver with just one diamond or stone or whatever in it, okay, just one ring of silver, nothing else, because the Prophet ﷺ said that there will be fire if you wear anything else apart from it, fire on the place where you wear it. And inshallah, our beauty for men is not in ornaments, but in the taqwa, in our good deeds, okay, that is our beauty, that is our jewelry. And inshallah, we will wear gold and silver, but in Jannah. But for one person, the Prophet ﷺ said that Suraqah was the person who was following the Prophet ﷺ when he was doing hijrah. And as he used to go close to the Prophet ﷺ, the earth used to grab him. And then he used to say, sorry, sorry, sorry. And then when the earth left him, on the command of the Prophet ﷺ, he again used to go behind him. And the Prophet would again instruct the earth, and then it would again grab Suraka. So this happened 3 times, and then ultimately he gave up and he said, Alhamdulillah, I believe. And then the Prophet ﷺ said that Suraka won't die until he has the gold of, it's one of the superpowers of the time, either Qaisar or Kisra, until he has the gold bangles from that state on him, he won't die. Okay? And that was one of the, what do you say, premonition, you know, ghaib, which the Prophet ﷺ said that Islam is going to be victorious over that superpower. Okay? So Hazrat Suraka, once he was very, very ill, people thought he's going to pass away, but he was very content and he said, I'm not going to pass away because the Prophet ﷺ said that I won't die until the bangles come into my hands. And ultimately, Islam was victorious over that particular nation, and the jewelry that came with the victory, Hazrat Suraka wore it, and it was only after that that he passed away. So as such, it's haram for men to wear, but the Prophet ﷺ allowed Hazrat Suraka to wear gold. So the Prophet ﷺ, he can do what he wants with Sharia, and he allowed mourning for Hazrat Amir Hamza. And his mamul was that the Prophet ﷺ, Hazrat Amir Hamza ke liye teesre aur saatwe aur chaliswe din aur chhate ma aur saal bhar baad sadqa diya. That means on the 3rd day, on the 7th day, on the 40th day, and after 6 months and after 1 year, the Prophet ﷺ gave sadaqah in the name of Hazrat Amir Hamza. So everything is proved. This is basically what we do. Sadaqah again, you do something, you give it to somebody else, but the reward goes to that person. So I think it's quite clear, covered quite a bit. I hope that everything is clear in your mind. Say, why do you keep the food in front of us? Keep the food in front of us or on your head, or keep it wherever. It doesn't matter. Okay? It doesn't matter. But it is proved, like Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, he went with some sweets to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, do dua for barakat in it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept it there in front of him and he made dua. So this is again one of the sunnah. When you bring food in front, this is again one of the sunnah. But if people don't do it, fine. If people do it, fine. Even if the food is still cooking, okay, if it's still being made, you can still do Isa alayhi salam. Okay? So that's one. And feeding others, Huzur Ghawse Pak says that I have looked at the list of all the good deeds, and after faraiz, I haven't found a good deed which is better than feeding people. Which is better than feeding people. So that's why feeding people, and it is said when people gather together for the sake of Allah, and when they feed, Allah will not take account of that time which is spent on that mat. Allah won't take into account. So sit for hours and hours, just sit there. Because all that time is not going to be accounted for. When you gather for the sake of deen, and when you eat together. So again, feeding people, that's a good thing. That's what we do in our mamuls. So alhamdulillah, we've covered everything. If there are any questions, and I want some questions so that other things which have been left out can become clear. Yes. All those who write, they have questions. Yeah. Yes, inshallah. Anwar Satiyah on page number 145. Not too sure. Hashia Khaza, no, that's different. That's Ashatul Amat. No, this is Anwar Satiyah, page number 145. Seen Alif Ta and Ha. I mean, you can do the Fatiha. can do for Maqsood right now. Even when the person is alive. Basically what you're doing is giving some rewards to him.
Sure.
So either the person is alive or dying or dead or dead long ago. Doesn't matter. Okay? They should do Fatiha. As far as the people sitting there and, you know, sitting there and not doing anything, it's like suppose somebody's passed away and I go to the house. Obviously, initially I'll pray for half an hour, 1 hour. But you can't keep praying all day. I mean, you get tired, you get distracted, people come, you start talking. Yeah? So, like when somebody else comes in, he sees that this person is not praying, but probably he's already prayed before. He's here since morning or since a long time and he's already prayed. So, is it 9 o'clock? Yeah. Where were the president? Huh? Yeah, so sorry about that. Yeah. So you should pray even before. I mean, there's nothing wrong in it. No, nothing wrong in praying even before the burial has taken place. It's like some things become a sort of a local tradition. Like one person sort of, maybe it so happens that somebody passes away and they say, okay, let's pray the Kalma-e Tayyiba 100,000 times. Okay, so you heard it. So you will go home and say, if somebody passes in your family, okay, 100,000. And then the person who is there, 100,000. So this is how word spreads and it becomes a sort of a normal thing, a common thing where people, everyone in that community or in that locality, they start doing it. But as such, there is nothing, there is no limitation. No. There is no limitation. I mean, it is stated about Shah Waliullah Muhaddis Dehelvi. He is from the Dehelvi family, and one of the shaitan has arose from the Dehelvi family called Ismail Dehelvi. And his book has caused a lot of trouble. But his ancestors and from his family, like Abdul Haq Muhaddis Dehelvi and Shah Waliullah Muhaddis Dehelvi, all these were great Sufi buzurgs and great Muhaddiseen of their time, and were obviously Sunnis. And it is stated here that on the third day, after the death of Hazrat Shah Waliullah Muhaddis Dehelvi, whom even they believe and they sort of approve of him, there were so many people that they did 81 khatm in that mehfil. 81 khatm Quran in that mehfil. So, I mean, it was just a random figure that came out. He said, this is what I know. It could be even more. But I was told that 81 khatm Quran has been done. And he said, the kalma tayyiba, I mean, that's countless. We don't know the numbers. So if they can pray 81 times Quran, imagine the other wazaif which must have been going on. So there is no particular limit to it. Do as much as you can. Yeah. Somebody in my family, very close, she saw a dream just this week that she saw the spirits, her family, but they're all spirits. Yeah. And she was still alive in a dream, and I was there, my wife, okay, so who is she, my wife, so we were alive, and then she saw her mother, her father, all the other relatives, but she knew they were dead and they were spirits. And it's like she said, in her dream, whenever she was praying something, an apple or a fruit or something would fall from the sky. As soon as she prayed something, something would fall from the sky. And then one of the spirits said that, look, this is what happens. When you pray, you get the reward. When you pray, you get the reward. So she said, she started praying more and more, and those things started falling in place of everyone. Everyone has sort of a plate or whatever. So it started falling in everyone's plate. So probably she was doing Isa alayhi salam, yeah? So it was falling in everyone's plate. So it had good effect on us, like, it shows that whatever you pray, inshallah, you will see it and you will get it. But not in the dunya. You will see it and you will get it when you pass away. And you will know the value of these things. And it is said that, there is in this I marked, let me see, that the souls, okay, they eagerly wait for some gifts to come through from their family. This is proven. They wait, okay? And if they do get something, they are proud in front of the other souls that, look, my family has sent me this. It's a life there. It's a whole community. Probably they must be sitting like this and talking and whatever. Yeah. Thursday. Every Thursday they come to every Thursday they visit the houses. That's just before Friday starts. They visit, if they want to, they visit the houses. Don't be scared. You know, there are spirits here. But, I mean, we have heard this all our lives from our elders, that, you know, every Thursday they would do that agarbatti. It is time for the, you know, souls to come in. So we just thought it was a story, but it's true. They come. About the agarbatti, many people might have a question on that. You know agarbatti? What is it, incense? What was it? Sticks, yeah? It's only for khushbu, okay? It's only a form of khushbu. Khushbu, good smell, perfume, it attracts angels, okay? So it's just a form of it, okay? But we went too far in, like, you know, every takhti or every frame we do this, yeah? And every corner of the house we take it. So it's just one of these things which we have taken too far. And we don't even spare the mayyad, and we put on the qabr. Well, we shouldn't do that because there is arg on it, okay? And one thing which the qabr fears a lot, the person in the qabr, is fire. Because the azab, whatever azab happens on the dead, is of fire. Okay, that's the only form. Obviously, the intensity is different, the way it is done is different, but it's of fire. And this is one thing the person in the qabr dreads, fire. So never put an agarbatti, okay, on the qabr. If you want for khushbu purposes, put it on the side somewhere, never on the qabr itself. Any other questions? If there is a purpose behind, like watch, the ulamas have stated that there is a purpose behind this, wearing this watch, okay, so it's allowed. Taweez. As long as the thing holding it is not, you know, of any metal, if it's only a thread or whatever, then even the taweez, even that thing which actually holds the taweez, if that is made of silver or whatever, that is again okay. So as long as there is some purpose behind it, then it's okay. Badges, bells, these kind of things are fine. Yes, 4.5 grams. I think yours is even smaller than that.
I think no, because that's why I don't start.
Is it?
And the plate, and when I have to make it 4.5, because I can't make it so.
Gotcha? I mean, I've seen scholars wearing pretty big ones, so.
That's why I have to.
Oh, no. I'll have to look. I mean, there was something in it, but I don't have it on top of my head. It was, there is something on all the fingers, except the thumb. Inshallah, look for it. What's the wedding finger? Which is the wedding finger?
Ring finger, sorry.
I have to tell him he's going to get married next week. Yeah, do you know which is the where are you going to wear it? Left or right? Anything else? Feel free to ask. Yes, brother.
Yeah.
When you pray and reward it to somebody else, you get the rewards anyway. So it's going in your. Is going in your, like, they sometimes they quote an ayat that laysa linsani illa mas'a, that means for a person is nothing but what he does for himself, okay? So they say, look, nothing else is going to help us. But what it basically means is that don't depend on this. I mean, if I'm a person, are you getting late? If I'm a person, I'm not going to, you know, just sit idle and say, oh, when I pass away, these people are going to do Isalis Sawab for me, so I don't need to do good deeds. That is wrong. So as long as I am concerned, I should do my best so that my akhirat is secure. Okay? So don't depend on Isalis Sawab. But when you do it for others, you're getting it anyway. You're getting it anyway. But leave good children after you so that they do it for you. You married? Children? Is it about the azan in qabr? Giving an azan on qabr, right? We'll do that topic next week probably. It's a complete topic, inshallah. Yeah. Again, the thing is giving azan allowed or not? Okay. Even apart from the namaz timings. Yes. It is stated that when you want the shaitan, okay, or his influence, when you want to be free from it, give the azan, because till wherever your voice goes of the azan, the shaitan goes that far. Okay. So not only during namaz we do azan, we can do it elsewhere. So at the time, I mean, this is just a logical answer to it. But at the time when a person is buried, what is the question asked? About Tawheed, about Allah, about Islam, and about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the best answer, and that is the time where the shaitan is trying his best, because this is his last chance. Okay? So in the qabr, when the answers, questions are taking place, he is trying his utmost to deviate that person and to sort of, mislead that person into giving wrong answers, so that once you give wrong answers in the qabr, then your punishment starts. Okay, so he tries his utmost. So what the people on top do is, they have learned from the hadith that when you pray azan, the shaitan goes far away. So at that time, they pray azan so that the shaitan does not have any influence on the person who is giving his answers. Okay? And then the azan itself has all the answers to the question asked, like Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. So when the angels might be asking, who is your Lord? Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Okay? And then about Islam, and then about, if they say that, what did you say about this blessed personality? And then he hears somebody saying, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. So he says, he is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So basically, we're just helping. I mean, why are you trying to, stop us helping others? So it's basically. Bayan kahan? Bayan dunya mein hi hai. No, the questions you. Yeah, the questions. What happens is, when you die, the time when you will be woken up again by the angels, okay, is the time after Asr, just before Maghrib. So that is the time. And a person who is habitual of praying namaz, what will happen is he will wake up, and this is the hadith which says he will wake up, he'll be rubbing his eyes, and he will look at the time, and he'll feel it's like coming to Maghrib, and he'll feel he still hasn't prayed his Asr, so he will quickly want to pray his Asr. Now, he doesn't know he's dead, he doesn't even realize he's dead, so he wants to pray his Asr because he's so habitual of praying Asr at that time. And because of that action of his, that will prove that he is a mu'min, because he wants to pray namaz at that time. Okay? And that is when the questioning will take place. When? I mean, the time limit is about when, he's buried, when the qabr is closed, and the people walk 40 steps, that is the time. Doesn't matter if they walk or not. If they decide to just stand there, even then, after that time, what it takes to take 40 steps, the questioning will start. And it's a dreadful time, but Allah makes it easy for the believers. We'll talk about that. Have we spoken about that? Inshallah. We'll talk about that in detail, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة. اللهم حبب علينا سكرات الموت. اللهم حبب علينا سكرات الموت. اللهم حبنا علينا سكرات الموت. رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. رب اغفر وارحم وانت خير الراحمين. اللهم انا نسالك علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وعملا متقبلا والشفاء من كل داء وتوبة نصوحة وتوبة قبل الموت وراحة عند الموت ومغفرة ورحمة بعد الموت والعفو عند الحساب والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار. يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين. اللهم ارحم أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم رحمة عامة. اللهم اغفر أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم مغفرة عامة. رب اغفر وارحم وانت خير الراحمين. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Just pray. Salatu salam. One or two shares here. Mustafa jaane rehmat pehla ko salam shamoe bazme hida yat pehla ko salam jis suhani ghadi chamkata hai ba ka chaand us dil afroz saat pehla ko salam mustafa jaane pehla ho salam kaash mahshar mein jab unki aamad ho aur bheje sab unki shaukat pehla ho salam mujhse khidmat ki qudsi kahe ha reza mujhse khidmat ki qudsi kahe ha reza mustafa jaane rehmat pehla ho salam shamoe bazme hidayat pehla ho salam salatu wassalamu alayka ya rasulullah wa ala alika wa sahbika ya nurullah subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.